Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Networks. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Hey, everyone. Good afternoon and welcome to Walk Your Talk with Leanne here on Life Coach Radio Network. And I just want to give a big shout out to audible.com for being our sponsor. We're very grateful here at the network. And I would love it if you have enjoyed audible.com, please reach out and send a note to us and let us know what your favorite books have been or some that are on your reading list so we can sell. Excuse me, it's no charge, so we can tell our listeners some book recommendations from each one of you. I am Leanne Parsons, the Walk Your Talk Coach here at Life Coach Radio Network. I am the CEO and founder of Legacy Now Live, and I am, as you know, a radio host as well as a life and leadership relationship restoration coach working within what I like to call the tapestry of adoption. I do work with adoptees and their families, and together we navigate some of the complexities in our adoption journeys, and we do that together. I empower those within the tapestry of adoption to really embrace their stories and to improve their relationships. I've been asked very recently to enter the arena with a few of my clients to help them navigate these complexities of adoption reunion. So I am also really enjoying that opportunity to stand shoulder to shoulder with those within the tapestry who are seeking, planning for, and in the middle of a reunion experience. So I'm super excited to be here with you today. This is the first Thursday in May. I love May. May is an amazing month for me for many reasons. One, it is my birthday month. And so I will be celebrating a pretty big birthday here this month, and I'm super excited that I'm going to be able to share that with a lot of friends and family. I also love the blooms that I have right here outside my front door of iris that are absolutely spectacular that I am enjoying, and so I enjoy the freshness and the newness that we are allowed to embrace here in the Southwest every spring. So I come before you twice every month here on Walk Your Talk with Leanne. And for those of you who are new to my listening audience, I just so warmly welcome you. I'm so glad that you've chosen to take an hour out of your day and spend time with us here. Those of you who have been with me for a while, you know that I'm a gal who's not afraid to talk about the hard stuff, to pull back the covers, so to speak, on the intimate and the challenging issues of our lives as we navigate through our adoption journeys, as well as just life in general. Sometimes it can be stinking hard. And we're here at Life Coach Radio Network to inspire and challenge and encourage you to live well and to embrace the opportunities that are before you every day. So I'm super honored to welcome my guest to you today. My guest today, as I'm sure many of you know, is Lori Holden. Lori blogs at lavenderlutz.com, and she is the author of The Open-Hearted Way to Open Adoption. So this book is a guide that tops the suggested and required reading list at adoption agencies around the country. Lori also writes at the Huffington Post and is a regular columnist at the Denver Post, milehighmamas.com. And as a fellow Coloradoan, I am super excited to introduce you to my friend, Lori. Welcome, Lori, to Walk Your Talk with Leanne.
Thank you so much, Leanne. I'm just thrilled to be here with you on this May day. It's a little gray here in Denver, but it's so full of promise this time of year, and I love that too. And happy early birthday.
Oh, thank you so much. Yes, I will be celebrating a birthday on May the 20th. And I'm super excited about that. I will be the big 5-0, and I'm not afraid to say it nor announce it. I just did it live here on the radio. I'm excited about being a half a century old. It's kind of fun. And so anyway, I'm really excited that you could join me here today, Lori, and talk about this beautiful topic of our parenting GPS. I am also a mom, as you are, Lori. I'm a mom of two kiddos who are now grown and married, and actually, I am also a grandmother, 7 months now, a grandmother, and have navigated the parenting journey, sometimes with no GPS, sometimes I wish I had one, and other times I don't even know what that is. So I'm glad that you're here to help us navigate that today. So, Lori, tell us a little bit about you. I gave an introduction to all your beautiful accomplishments. I enjoy your blogs. I've been following you for quite a while now. We haven't had the privilege yet of meeting face-to-face, but I definitely look forward to that day. You know, Parenting Magazine even calls you a must-read for adoptive families. And so tell us more about what led you into blogging, writing, and encouraging those on an adoption journey. And it looks like we might have just lost our guest. So she will be calling back in here in a second. I do want to take a moment for those of you listening in. If you have a desire to chat with Lori or myself, please feel free to call in at 6716-9397, and you can share your thoughts or comment with either Lori or myself regarding our parenting GPS. And so, Lori, welcome back.
Thank you. I don't know what happened there. A glitch in the system.
Hey, well, you know, yeah, technology, we never know what's going to happen. And in studio, when we are live, just about anything can jump up. And isn't that fun how here we're going to be talking about GPS, we're going to talk about parenting, we're going to talk about awareness. And super fun that we actually had that little moment, because being super aware, jumping back in at the moment when the unexpected comes, is oftentimes why a parenting GPS is so important.
Exactly. Just being able to recover and deal with whatever comes at you, because it's not always going to be predictable.
There you go. I love that segue. You know, you are listed, Lori, on the must read for adoptive families and those trying to navigate the journey. So tell us a little bit, Lori, about what led you into blogging, stepping into this arena, sharing your heart, your mind, and your soul with this community.
Well, I've had a lot of really wonderful teachers. I first started blogging about infertility, and I met the infertility community, and then that turned into adoption, and then I just started learning that everything I knew wasn't necessarily true, and I got schooled by some very wise people in all parts of the tapestry. I love that you use that term as to show how we're kind of woven together and how we affect each other. I'm about to have my 8th blogiversary, so I've been around for a while. And at the time that I got the idea to write this all down in a book, I knew that I didn't have the experience. You know, a singular person can't have the experience to write something that's going to be super helpful. So I tapped into all these people that had been teaching me and sharing with me and showing me perspectives that I was not living myself and I could never have anticipated. And that's kind of how the book came about. I know that there's no way that a book can cover all different situations that might happen, all the problems that a parent might encounter, all the different variables and things that go on. But I knew that I could tap into finding a heart set or a GPS so that you can find the answers within no matter what's going on, if you just have kind of the appropriate orientation of your inner guidance system.
Wow, I love that. Well, happy 8th blogiversary to you. So, yeah, you've been at this a lot longer than me. I am almost at my 10 radioversary here on Life Coach Radio Network. And so I celebrate with you Lori, on your anniversary. And, you know, you had shared some really interesting thoughts just now that I would like to touch on, if that's okay. You talked about having wonderful teachers, stepping in first into infertility arena, and then getting schooled by some very knowledgeable folks. And I would really appreciate hearing more about that, because that's why I love having you as well as the other guests on my radio program, because I need you. And it sounds like you realize that you needed other people in your life as well, because we don't live everybody else's story. You know, that's why I call it the tapestry of adoption, because we all have our own threads. Many of them are common. Some of them are quite unique. And without each other, we do not have a full picture of what this journey called adoption was created to look like. So thank you for that. So can we jump in first with the wonderful teachers that you were allowed to experience as you set off on your infertility journey? Tell us a little bit more about
that. In this, I'm probably somewhat typical of a new adoptive parent. I was, you know, I had my two new babies. They were 2 years apart, and I thought, you know, that was the end. I had done the adoption thing. I built my family, and I made it to the finish line. But it wasn't the finish line. It was the starting line of something else. And I think a lot of adoptive parents like me come and think our threads go through the grief and then to the happiness. But the threads that other people in adoption experience sometimes go the other direction. Sometimes for birth parents, for placing parents, sometimes it goes into the grief and into like a long-term dealing with grief and loss and separation. The same can happen for adoptees as well. And so the schooling came when I entered a forum. This was before I'd gotten into blogging, and I was on a forum and I was all rah-rah about adoption. And the schooling came from people saying, well, wait a second, this was not wonderful for me. This was not wonderful for me. This was not wonderful for me. Look at what I endured. Look at how horrible this was for me. Look at the challenges that I've dealt with. And not to say that everything's awful for everybody, but certainly, as you say, there's a tapestry, there's a range, there's a 360-degree mosaic of what's going on for different people in different positions of adoption. And so trying to say that adoption is this, or this is the truth about adoption, no one person that I've found anyway can make that statement, because we all have such a limited viewpoint.
Wow, I love that. I'm just so resonating with you, and I've just got goosebumps, you know, head to toe, hearing you share, because it's so my heart as well, and why I love to do radio and bring the beautiful tapestry before our listeners and before the world to help us all understand just a little bit deeper about what this journey of adoption is like. You know, and a lot of my listeners know, I'm an adult adoptee myself, so I am an adopted person. And I often say, Lori, I'm the baby in the crib 50 years later. I grew up. I have questions. I experienced all kinds of things that if you have the courage, if you lean in and listen to what I'm about to share or have the courage to see my heart, perhaps you might get another perspective on what it's like to be an adopted person. And you've really allowed that for me already in our first, gosh, here we are, 12 minutes in, and I feel like, wow, we could end the show right there with what you just shared about the importance of listening to each other and seeking out other people whose experiences are different than our own, so we can learn and grow in those and from them. So thank you again for being here and being willing to be so open here in our first 12 minutes together. Fantastic.
If I were to be really candid about the schooling, it was actually more of a spanking because of the rah-rah nature that I had. And I've talked with some of our mutual friends about this. I know that you, I kind of met you through Rebecca Valle, who has the Family to Family program. And I know that you're tied in with Claudia Darcy and some of those people. So the schooling, the spanking, helped me see that even though this was like the end of the quest for me, I didn't quite get that it was the beginning of the road for my kids. And I can't tell you, Leanne, how valuable it was for me when people like you would tell me, this is what it can feel like for your kids. If you do this, this is what it can do to your kids or for your kids. And make your choices wisely, because you don't get to go back and do it again. And so I, even though the spanking hurt at the time, it was really bruising to be publicly taken to task. In the long run, yeah, I can see it as such a gift.
Wow, totally. You know, I was really picked up on something that you said that resonates with me that I want to dive into a little bit deeper. You said that it was kind of a spanking for you, that you were schooled, and big shout out to Rebecca and to Claudia and to all of those who have pioneered the way for us to be able to do shows like this, whose voices are so incredibly important. A huge shout out to our community and those of us who are standing together to raise awareness and, like we said, pull back the curtain to some of these issues. But Laura, you said something really interesting just a moment ago. You said, being aware that what we do to our children or for them has a great effect or impact. Can you chat more about that? Because, boy, there's a lot of, I feel like my brain's on popcorn right now with hearing you share those two phrases. And being as this is Walk Your Talk with Leanne, I want to hear your talk and your walk about doing things to our kids and for them.
I think those of us who grew up in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and maybe even 80s and knew something about adoption came to it with this either-or mindset. These are the days of closed adoption. And either these are your parents or those are your parents. You can't have it both. And either this is my son or it's her son, and you can't have it both. And we're just going to focus on this life that we've got now, but not the life that could have been. We're only going to look at this half of who you are. And that was that's how it was at the time. And that was okay at the time, because society kind of, we marinated in that, and we picked it up by osmosis. But we found out through adoptees bringing their voices together with, you know, the advent of the internet and the internet opening things up and helping people join. But we found that closedness, that either-or mindset, didn't work so well for so many of them. And instead, embracing this both-and heart set, where we don't ask the child to rank nature or nurture. We don't ask them to put their love or their loyalty for their various parents in a hierarchy. Those are some of the things that we can do to them, not specifically by saying, you tell me you love me best, but by the way we respond to them, by the way things we say or don't say, or our body language when tough subjects come up. So those are some of the things that I learned while listening to adult adoptees, is what really hurt them, that their parents did while they were operating from this either-or mindset.
Yeah, I totally agree. And that was some of my experience. You know, my adoptive parents were absolutely fantastic. But that was, you know, I was a 60s baby. And that was, we approached my adoption experience along with my three siblings in more of a closed approach, more of an either or, and step forward from here in the past doesn't really matter. So thank you for bringing that up and just really honoring that position. And it sounds like you really embraced that idea and set off on this real journey for yourself to learn more, to be more aware, and to start setting your own parenting GPS. So tell us, let's dive into this beautiful topic, because this idea of a parenting GPS really resonated with a lot of my listeners, where I got private messages and public messages. People who have kiddos who are young, as well as those of us who have children, you know, well into our 20s and 30s.
Yeah, I think what I kind of imagine a zipper, and an adopted child has two sides on that zipper. They have their biological side on one half, and then they have their adoptive parent side on one half. I call that the biology and the biography. And parents want their kids to grow up whole, and they want their kids to grow up connected. And when we can help them zip up their two sides from as early on as possible, they're going to have that more whole tapestry, more sense of connection that tie in with both of their clans, their ability, as my friend Judy Miller says, to claim and be claimed by both sets of their important people in their lives.
Wow, that is super cool. What a beautiful analogy, you know, thinking of the zipper. My adoptive mom was a seamstress. And so this is totally coming up for me, and how fun that we're talking about this on the eve of Mother's Day. You know, here we are just a few days away from celebrating this holiday that is, you know, definitely honors moms on every part of the tapestry. And I'm thinking of my mom putting in a zipper and having to line it up actually exact. There couldn't have been a buckle in the zipper when she was sewing it in our dresses or our slacks. And the other thing that had to happen with that zipper, Lori, was none of the teeth could be missing or it wouldn't flow, right? It would skip a beat or it would split down the middle and it would come apart. So, you know, as you were sharing that, I'm kind of throwing all kinds of metaphors at you because you are too, and I think we're both metaphor junkies, maybe just a little bit. And a lot of my listeners are too. And how fun. So when you hear me share all of that about what I observed as a kiddo with zippers in my own home in a real practical sense, and now we're talking about your beautiful analogy of the biology and biography, I would love to hear what's coming up with you on the whole teeth, zip it up, all of that right now. Because again, boy, you've got my mind spinning, my friend.
I love where you took that metaphor, because I hadn't thought of the teeth and the interconnections and not being able to miss anything. And I think what's coming up is I think that contact is scary a lot of times for adoptive parents, because you don't know what you're getting, you don't have control over all the variables, we have preconceived ideas over the type of woman who would place a baby, and so it can seem really scary to have that contact and that tooth-to-tooth connection, especially a very tight interconnection like that. So I think one of the things that can be done in this parenting GPS establishment is to first become comfortable with the idea of openness. And once you work that out, then the idea of contact becomes less scary. Because openness is really more of what I tell people is it's more of a solo job that you do within yourself, becoming aware of your own buttons and triggers. And one of the questions I wanted to ask you, Leanne, is do you remember ever coming up with any of your parents' buttons or triggers, maybe something that stemmed from that either or mindset, or just where you were like, ooh, I better not go there because that's a sore spot for them. And did you ever have to kind of back down on things or squish things down inside you that you might have wanted your parents to help you deal with adoption wise?
Wow, great question. And I'm really honored that you asked. Yes, I actually have two different really, I would call them kind of pillar moments in my childhood where I did reach out to them. And one of the first ones, I was quite young actually, and I did want to know more about my adoption story. And I asked my mom, because a lot of my friends were chatting in school about baby book. Did you have a baby book? And what's in your baby book? And was there a lock of hair saved for you and different things? And so I went home one day and I said, hey mom, do I have a baby book? And she said, no, you know, I never really kept one on you. And I thought, okay, wow, that's okay. And so one day in my curious self, because I'm a pretty persistent gal, I was up snooping around in her sewing room, actually, that had a cubby, and I found a baby book up there, right? And it had my name in it. And it was partly filled out. And so I went back to my mom and asked her again. And she said, you know, I don't recall ever making a baby book for you. And it wasn't until much, much later that I actually got my hands on that book. And it had a lot of information that I really didn't know about my past, about my early babyhood. And so I just remember feeling like, wow, there's some information that's being withheld from me. And why is that? And I think that was a real pivotal point for me, Lori, to just say, you know, it is an either or kind of thing. Even though I was in their home, in that paperwork was the name of my adoption judge and the attorney that helped handle the adoption. And so when I think back on it now, I think there was some fear there of, would I turn and run to these people to seek my roots? Or if at any reason they upset me, would I turn and want to be reunited during my childhood? So that was kind of a big deal for me. It was, like I said, kind of a pillar moment. And then another one, I remember being grounded for some of my poor choices in high school and wanting to run away. And I did look at my mom and I said those horrible words or those fretful words that every adoptive parent cringes when they think about receiving from their child. And that is, you're not my real mom. You can't tell me what to do. And I did say that. I have to admit that. And, you know, I'm not proud of that moment, but it was part of my story.
I can tell that those were very pivotal moments for you. And I think adoptive parents sometimes want to try to minimize the meaning behind these things. Oh, it's just a baby book, or they're just words or something like that. But I'm wondering if that turned into quite a trust issue for you with your parents at the time, because first you were wondering if they didn't trust you with your own information. And second, if your mother was keeping something from you, even if it was a little something, could there be more that she was keeping from you? I'm wondering if that kind of shook the foundation that you had with you, with your parents for a while.
You know, it really did. And I love the conversation that we're having here and just being able to be open with each other, because it did shake that foundation. And even into adulthood, to be really honest, the more aware I got of how adoption has impacted my life and the more personal work I did, because I was a hot mess in a lot of areas, Lori, when it came to my passions and my emotions and that trust piece. And it did affect me. And when I would approach my parents about wanting to share more of what I was learning, there was not an ease of walking into that with them. And a lot of it, you know, at no fault, you know, it's just the way it was for them. I love them dearly, and they're both gone now, and I hold them in high regard. But it was, they did the best with what they knew, and their own fears and insecurities about really embracing their own part of the journey with infertility and adoption, I think did prevent them from having that courage to lean in and listen without feeling at all judged, dismissed, or discounted in any way for their parenting experience.
I think you make a really, really good point that it was, and it kind of ties in with what I was saying earlier, that this is how it was. We didn't, especially adoptive parents at that time, we didn't second guess it. We took it at face value what the social worker said and what the expert said. You know, everybody will move on. We'll just pretend like it didn't happen. And so there was no there was no impetus to get deep into stuff. We were guided to kind of hide stuff. So it wasn't anybody's fault. It's just that people didn't know better. And I kind of want to make it my mission with adoptive parenting to try to help people to know better, because we know from listening to experts like Heather Forbes and Gregory Keck and Brian Post that at the foundation of everything, all you really have is relationship and trust. And by the time you have a teenager who wants to go live with his birth mom, or you have a 12-year-old who yells at you, well, you're not my real mom, you can't make me, you're already kind of, you already have some chinks in the foundation that you're trying to build. Of course, those things can happen even if you do have a lot of trust and openness and everything, but you're in a better space to handle those big upsets if you've got a really strong foundation that you've been building from as early on as possible.
Yeah, I totally agree and echo what you shared. And, you know, there's a lot of myths, Lori, actually around the idea of openness, what openness in adoption means. So can you share with us a little bit, just to kind of clear that, you know, what might be muddy water for listeners that are out there that perhaps are not intimately connected with adoption or are just stepping into this arena?
Yeah, I tell people that contact is really, at least at the beginning, what happens between the grown-ups in the equation. It's the grown-ups that are charged with taking care of the baby or the child, deciding what kind of contact they'll have. Will it be pictures? Will it be phone calls, Skype visits, actual visits? How often will it be? Where will it be? Supervised or not supervised? And how comfortable are we going to be with each other? That's the contact piece. But the openness piece, and I've divided these out. Contact is not the same as openness. Openness instead is more of an inside job that the grown-ups do within themselves to try to figure out what's keeping them closed down, what's keeping them in fear, what keeps them from being willing to be vulnerable. And it's also something that they do with their child, so a little bit of a duet, figuring out, you know, how open can my child be with me without any kind of wincing from me if they tell me I'm thinking about my birth mom tonight. Is that going to be, am I going to be okay with that? How can I be okay with that? So that kind of intimacy and trust and bonding and openness is different from having contact. You can have contact without openness. You can have openness without contact, and that happens a lot of times with foster adoptions or international adoptions or some domestic adoptions where the birth parents, for whatever reason, aren't around. So I think between the two measures, contact or openness, I think openness is really the more key piece that that will benefit the child as the child grows up.
Oh, I'm standing here with pom-poms going, yeah, preach it, sister. That's so key because you shared, you know, openness is an inside job. And we can have openness without contact or contact without openness. And I see those two things, Lori, really being a beautiful zipper as well as the biography and biology piece. That when they are together, there is a harmony that helps people to feel connected, to feel close, and to feel safe. You know, if we go back to that zipper analogy, if we look at, like, I've had jackets before, Lori, where the zipper has been broken and I'm going out in a Colorado winter. I even had it happen on a ski hill where I couldn't. My zipper was jammed and I couldn't shut it, and I'm up on the top of the mountain. I'm freezing because that connection of both sides of the zipper weren't made. And I'm thinking about how powerful, you know, looking back, right, 50 years now over my experience, what a difference that would have made in my identity journey had I had that beautiful, strong connection that was really withheld even from our parents, because the professionals, the adoption workers, and society as a whole said, you know, it really didn't matter what the past history was, just step forward from today. And there are those of us who are, you know, kind of raising that flag and saying, no, wait just a moment. There's more to this than what we thought. And the evolutionary process about how we have learned about the impacts, the beauty, the mystery, and the challenges of adoption are right here, right now. I think, you know, we were all born for such a time as this, Lori, to really bring this awareness and really fine-tune our parental and our childhood GPSs right now, right here in the 21st century. Here we go.
Exactly.
Love that. Well, we are at the bottom of the hour, and Lori, grab us with your coffee or whatever it is you are enjoying on this beautiful Monday after or Thursday afternoon in May. And I'm going to give a little bit of a shout out here to Life Coach Radio Network and to our listeners. Again, thank you for joining me, Leanne Parsons, the Walk Your Talk Coach at Legacy Now Lives here on Life Coach Radio Network. If you are a listener and would like to call in with a thought or a question or a comment for either myself or my beautiful guest, Lori Holden, the number you can reach us is 646-716-9397, and I would be happy to bring you into our studio to chat with us. Also, all of our shows are archived and podcasted on lifecoachradionetworks.com, as well as on iTunes. So I encourage you to reach out and learn more about all of our coaches here on the network. I am one of over 20 coaches here on the network who come before you each and every day. We have programs actually on three different channels here on Blog Talk Radio to inspire, encourage, and challenge you and to journey with you on this beautiful thing called life that we have the privilege of stepping into. We have some upcoming shows here on Life Coach Radio Network. Tomorrow at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, Create Your Bliss with Anika Annan here on Life Coach Radio Network, also on the 11th of May. You can join Coach Rev Jen as she hosts her show called Spiritually Speaking at 8 p.m., and it is her two-year anniversary show on the 11th of May. And also on May the 17th, please join my colleague, Mark Shaw. He is a life and business coach, and his show is called Mark My Words. So I encourage you to tune your dial, mark your calendar for those shows. Also, I want to let you know about some upcoming shows on Walk Your Talk with Leanne. I am super excited for the next couple months here on Walk Your Talk with Leanne. I am very, very privileged today. I have Lori Holden with me, beautiful author and speaker of The Open-Hearted Way to Open Adoption. On May 21st, hold on to your hats because it's going to be Betsy Norris and I at 1 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And Betsy is a front runner in the whole open records adoption movement in the Cleveland, Ohio area. They have just really blown the lid off of closed records there, and thousands upon thousands of adoptees are getting their original birth certificates. And so I'm going to be chatting with Betsy about what that journey's been like for her and what's currently happening in Ohio in that arena, as well as all over the country. And then on June the 4th, I am very honored. I get to bring a really fun guy on with me. He is a speaker and author as well, very well known. His name is Peter Shankman, and he is the author of The Zombie Lobbyist, his current newest book, and he is just a hoot. You're going to love getting to know him. I had the privilege of meeting him in Albuquerque at an event, and he agreed to be on my show with me, and so I'm super excited to bring him on June the 4th. And then on June 18th, I will be welcoming Mr. Jonathan Catherman, and he is the author of The Manual to Manhood. It's the how to cook the perfect steak, change a tire, impress a girl, and 97 other skills you need to survive as a man. And so I'm super excited to welcome all of these people to my schedule here on Walk Your Talk with Leanne. So please stay tuned for more information about those upcoming shows. And so now back in the present, here on this lovely May 7th, 2015, with Lori Holden. Lori, welcome back to Walk Your Talk with Leanne.
Thank you so much, Leanne. I was adding all these things to my calendar as you're listing them. They sound fabulous.
Oh, thanks. I am super excited. You know, the one beautiful thing, well, there's many beautiful things I enjoy about live radio and about life coaching and leadership coaching in general is the people that I get to meet. I am all about the connection. And you had shared in the first half of our show, Lori, just about the importance of relationship. And truly, it doesn't matter if it's within our family context, within our work environment, within our communities, that the importance of connection and relationship, it really never goes away. We were created for relationship, to be in relationship, and to foster the relationships that we've been entrusted to, no matter what arena we're in. So thank you for talking about and being here present with me as we journey into the second half of our program together on Parenting GPS, on the importance of awareness in general. Well, thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
All right. Well, we're going to dive in here to the second half of our show. You know, we really nailed on some hot button topics that are swirling around the internet in our minds and in the privacy of our own homes behind closed doors. And so, Lori, you know, we've talked about how I spoke to my mom, "You're not my real mom," and those kinds of comments. Help me to understand, Lori, what that's like for an adoptive mom to have that intensity come into their home? And what comes up for you when you hear me share that experience that I encountered, say, golly, 35 years ago?
I am so glad that you brought this up, Leanne, because what I work with adoptive parents a lot on is finding and neutralizing their own buttons and triggers. And I think that hearing "you're not my real mom" is probably one of the biggest buttons that is out there, or not being considered the real mom, or not feeling real from the inside. And if that's the case, then nothing that anybody does on the outside is going to make you feel real. So when I, my kids say that all the time, well, they've stopped saying it because they know it doesn't get them anywhere. But the thing behind openness and building those relationships, the thing that makes openness possible, is mindfulness, and somehow building mindfulness into your day or into your routine. Because it's with mindfulness that we're able to find and neutralize our fears, like the fear of not being the real mother or the real father. And when we neutralize our fears, the benefit for the child and for us is that then we're free to focus on what's really going on for them, on their issues, instead of getting so caught up and tangled in our own, you know, landmine that's going on inside. When we're triggered like that, we can really focus on what's behind what you said to your mom, or what's behind it when one of my kids says, well, I'm going to run away and live with somebody else. So, you know, because that happens. And kids who aren't adopted say that too. It just doesn't have the adoption charge in those families.
Absolutely. You know, and I think you brought up a very key point just about that mindfulness and about neutralizing those fears and those triggers. Because a lot of people will say, Lori, well, isn't ignorance bliss? Like, if I just don't talk about it, it's just going to kind of go away and it's really not here. And so if I just kind of ignore it or let them blow off steam but not address it, it's going to be just fine. And that doesn't, you know,
exactly.
I hear that coming from the international community as well as domestic adoption. So what can you talk to about that?
Yeah, I think it is really important to not cover up things, especially if your child is kind of wanting to explore either alone or with you. Because the question isn't whether or not they're going to have adoption issues. The question is, will they feel connected with you enough to let you along on their journey towards healing that split between biology and biography? So we want to encourage them to have those moments, to express those thoughts, to let you in. We don't want to do anything to shut those down, because, as you know, one or two shutdowns and that could be it, you know, unless you've got a really persistent child who's just going to keep going. So I do think that ignorance in this case is not bliss. I think that ignorance can be very, very damaging to the relationship, to the trust, and to the connection, the lifelong connection that we want to build with our kids.
You know, you brought up a really key point, that lifelong connection. And as parents, as kiddos, we get to decide, is that something that we want, is a lifelong connection? Because it is, every day is a choice, isn't it, Lori? You know, back in the day, kids were said to be better seen and not heard. And how much that impacted the culture that I grew up in, and how desperately I tried to change that when I was parenting my own kiddos. And really, you know, going back to our parenting GPS piece about really recalibrating what I thought motherhood really looks like, and how I wanted to create and live my legacy for a lifetime, to build those bridges and not walls with my own kids and my own family on a moment-by-moment basis.
Yeah, and I think you, especially being now at the grandmother stage, you can see that 18 years to raise a child really isn't that long. It looks long from the front end, but now I'm 12 and 14 years into it, and I'm starting to feel like, oh no, the finish line is coming up too fast. What am I doing? And am I doing it well? Because I don't get to do a do-over. And I like how you referred to the child being kind of, when he or she grows up, being in charge of this relationship and having the choice in it. And that reminds me of Jim Gritter's book, Huspicious Adoption, where he talks about how the first host in the adoption triad is the birth parent, who's hosting both the babies and often choosing the adoptive parents and kind of creating those initial connections. And then the baton is handed to the adoptive parents to create whatever kind of hospitality that they will for the next 18, 20 years, to extending to the other members in that particular triad. But ultimately, after those short 18, 20 years go by, it's the child, the now grown-up, who's going to decide, what kind of relationship do I want to have with these people? What, you know, what have they shown me about hospitality and about hosting? And so I think if we can be mindful of that all along the way, we will end up with healthier and more vibrant relationships.
God, isn't that what we want? You know, that's what I want in my world. And I really hear that heart coming from you, that's what you desire, and that propels you forward, right, to get up every day, to post your blogs, to write your books, to connect, not only with your own kiddos, but with the community in general, to really help raise this awareness and help us to understand that things don't stay better or don't get better when we spin in our own heads, and to pretend that we all don't have questions, thoughts, or comments surrounding the adoption journey isn't serving anyone. And so, Lori, I would love it if you could speak to us more about your book and about some other key resources, because it sounds like you work with a lot of adoptive families. And, you know, I do too, as well as birth families and adoptees. And I would love it if we could take just a few moments and share some of those resources that have really served us both on our journeys, because we come from different threads in the tapestry, and again, we can learn so much from each other.
Exactly. I have put together some current resources, you're included in them, by the way, on a post that I wrote about a month ago called What's Your Parenting GPS? And people can find that on lavenderlouse.com. Lavender is because it's my favorite color. And it's spelled with an E-R. A lot of times people will do it with an A-R. And then luz means light in Spanish. And I someday want to become fluent in Spanish. So it's lavenderluz.com. And then Googling within or searching within there, what's your parenting GPS? And I can tell you some of the resources that have been super valuable to me. There's a fairly new book that's come out called Adoption Therapy, Perspectives from Clients and Clinicians on Processing and Healing Post-Adoption Issues. It's a long title, but if you go to Amazon and look for Adoption Therapy, you will find it. And it's a lot of the adoptees who have taught me have contributed to that particular book. I think coaching with you, I've heard so many fabulous stories of people who you have just blown open with your particular gifts and perspectives, so I recommend you. Podcasts like this one and the array of guests that you have. Also, I want to give a shout-out again to Rebecca Valley and her Adoption Perspectives radio show with her Family-to-Family Support Network. There's a blog that's been really helpful to me called JudyMMiller.com. She's an adoptive mom and a blogger and an author of What to Expect from Your Adopted Teen. And then there's one other blog that is currently active by a birth mom who has raised, her son is now over 25 years old. So she's gone the long haul, and she was one of the very first in an open adoption as a birth mom. And so I really like seeing her perspective of this more looking back and looking forward, not still in the trenches on it, but having survived and accomplished deep connection with her son and his adoptive parents.
Beautiful. Thank you for those resources. And gosh, thank you for the shout out. It's certainly an honor to walk with those whose lives have been impacted by adoption in some way. You know, I often say it is a secret, a mystery, and a gift, this beautiful thing, this challenging thing that we call adoption. And it's such a privilege to be able to bring these resources forward for our listening community. And, you know, when we think of professionals such as myself and as Rebecca, as, goodness, Laura Dennis, who wrote Adoption Therapy along with others, and another resource that I want to give a shout out to is the new book, The Adoptee Survival Guide. And it's put out by several of my friends. I did have an opportunity to write a foreword for that book. It's absolutely fabulous. You can also find it on Amazon, as well as reach out to one of the authors and they can connect you with a copy of the book as well. And then another great resource, as we mentioned, is Claudia. And Claudia Darcy writes to the very heart of the birth mom perspective and really raising awareness. You know, I had the opportunity of chatting with Claudia just this week, Lori, just about some of these different challenges that we face and about this whole open records, this changing the way we do and view adoption as a whole. And her heart really is to serve and help raise awareness as well. So I want to give a shout out to her and, you know, reach out to us. And I just want to give just a little bit of a shout out to some programs that I am going to be doing. I'm super excited about. I just finished a coaching series. I had three different groups, Lori, where I had an adoptive mom group, a birth mom group, and an adoptee group. And we chatted every other week about the different challenges that keep us stuck on our journey forward in life with the tapestry of adoption kind of laid over our hearts and our minds and our stories. And it was just such an amazing opportunity to journey with all of these folks. And I'm going to be offering up some more programs in June. I'm taking May off to celebrate birthdays and celebrate family and enjoy graduations. But I am going to resume those coaching programs again. So if any of you have a desire to find out more information about that, please reach out to me and I will be happy to forward on some information to you. Because there are resources. So many of us can feel alone. And we can feel like the information out there, which in some ways is very outdated, but yet there are some real current and innovative ways where we can have a more conscious adoption approach. Lori, a very much a more mindfulness and aware approach on how we are navigating this journey. And so thank you for being part of that and sharing your resources with us. And, you know, please, again, shoot your beautiful blog address out, because I know that there was people writing down a lot of information that you were sharing. So if people want to know more about your blog, you have a whole series that I know I enjoyed reading about Parenting GPS. Could you give that address again real quick?
Sure. The blog is called lavenderluz.com, and lavender is with an E-R and then L-U-Z.com. The book is called The Open-Hearted Way to Open Adoption, Helping Your Child Grow Up Whole. And my daughter's birth mom has had a significant role in sharing her perspective on that. And it's available in hardcover at Amazon as well as in Kindle and electronic format. And my publisher just let me know that next month it will also be available in paperback and a little bit more affordable. So I'm thrilled about that because it can be more widespread that way. So,
wow. Thank you for that. That's exciting. Congratulations. That's fantastic.
Thank you. And I feel like it's such an honor and a privilege to be part of your tapestry with this. So thank you very much for inviting me to be part of your Thursday in May on your special month.
Oh, thanks. It's so great. It's so great to have you here. And, you know, you wrote a beautiful blog a couple of years ago that I had privilege to recently reading. And you had shared it on May 8th, 2010. And it was called The Motherless and the Childless. And as a tribute here on Mother's Day, I was wondering if you would be willing to read that to our listeners. I'm kind of putting you on the spot. I didn't prepare you for that, but I just thought, oh, it was very beautiful. And it really speaks to the heart of who you are and the desire for mindfulness, the desire for connection with your kiddos and this community in such a huge way.
I would love to do that. And I happen to have it up and it's not a long post. But this came about 5 years ago when I was still a little bit more in the infertility trenches and more connected with people who were actively building their families. You know, time takes care of some of that. But on the other end, in the last 5 years, I've come across more and more people, even in my own family, where we're dealing with the other end of life's conveyor belt. So this post is meant to be of comfort to people dealing with either. This weekend, as women celebrate the mothers they are and the mothers they have, let's take a moment to honor the childless mothers and the motherless children. I won't name you, but I'm thinking of you, those who are child-free, not by choice. Those who, like me, are not able to create or carry life. Those who experienced neonatal or infant loss. Those who have an empty place at the dinner table. Those who placed a child into the arms of another. To all of you women who feel an ache today, I honor you. I won't name you, but I'm thinking of you, those who are not able to invite mom to dinner, to call her on the phone, to send a card. Those who lost a beloved mother to illness, to accident, to age, to circumstance. Those who have an empty place at the dinner table. Those who have an unmet or distant birth mother. To all of you women who feel an ache today, I honor you. I'm abiding with you and wishing you peace today.
That is so beautiful, and it speaks to the entire tapestry. As you were reading that, and I'm reading it along with you here in my studio, you know, there are so many of us who are nameless. When you said, I won't name you, but I'm thinking of you, that really speaks to the heart of an adoptee as well. Because oftentimes we're told not to speak of her, which could be our birth mom, or not to think of her. And they also feel the same about us. I've spoken with several natural moms who say, oh my word, I haven't been able to speak about this with my parents ever. We've never brought it up. It's an unknown or an untouchable. And so, you know, this really does speak to the heart of this community. It speaks to the grief and loss issues that are felt throughout the tapestry. And it also speaks to the celebration because it honors. I love your word, abiding with you and wishing you peace. And just that whole approach of the connected zipper and that beauty that can happen when we really do reach across the table and take each other's hands and listen to one another. And I just really want to echo what you shared. And I want to give a shout out. You know, I'm one of the unique individuals, Lori, who I have four moms. Can you believe that? And I'll kind of go down my little train here. But when I was born, obviously, I have my lovely birth natural mother, and she placed me into the arms of the hospital workers, and then they in turn placed me into the arms of a foster mom, and I was with my foster mom for 3 months. And then in turn, I was placed with my family, my mom, and then I had the privilege of having a mother-in-law. And so those are my four moms. And I've been very blessed. I often say God knew that I needed four mothers to watch out for me because I was going to be such a hot mess that I needed four. And to each one of these lovely women, to Joanne, to Faye, to Winnie, and to Wilma, I wish a very, very happy Mother's Day. To my lovely daughter-in-law, this is her first Mother's Day, Jen, thank you for sacrificing your life into the life of my son, giving yourself to my beautiful grandson, Aiden. So I just want to give a shout out to them, to all the moms out there who have lost a child, whether it be to adoption, to tragedy, to disease, to illness. My heart goes out to you, and I wish you a very, very happy Mother's Day. To the moms who have been moms and nobody knows it, whether it has been through miscarriage or adoption, I wish you happy Mother's Day. I acknowledge you. I hold space for you. I see you, and I mention you by name, and I love you. To all of the adoptive moms out there who I just cherish and learn from every day, to the natural mothers who I so love and adore and learn from, and to the adoptees in my arena and my dearest friend, I am so incredibly grateful for you and for sharing your life with me. And I also, with Lori, abide with you and wish you peace today. Wow, I didn't know where that was going to, that just came from the heart and from the very depth of my soul, and you brought that out in me in sharing.
so honestly and graciously with me today, Lori. I am just so blessed by you and by your life and by your desire to learn more, to be more, and to join shoulder to shoulder, linking arms with all of us who have such a desire to see whole families and connected hearts. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for being here. I can't believe it. Here we are. We're at the top of the hour. Oh, my word. Thank you so much for the honor of interviewing you today and playing full out with me.
Thank you so much, Leanne. It's just beautiful when we allow our heart to be our GPS system, isn't it? And I really appreciate your allowing me to walk the talk today with you, alongside you.
Absolutely. And thank you for walking your talk with us. Again, listeners, thank you so very much for sharing with us. Please, please reach out. Share your thoughts and comments with us at any moment. We would love to hear more from you, about you, and hear more of your story. And again, happy Mother's Day. Please join us again here on Walk Your Talk with Leanne. You can find out more on my website at thewalkyourtalkcoach.com. Please reach out to me there. You can find me on Pinterest, Twitter, Facebook. Where else are we, Lori? We're all over the place. Those of us who are in the community, the internet is the information highway. Use it for good and cherish those that you love this week. And please let everybody know how much you love them. Until next time, God bless and be well.